just like to go over a line that was in the second worship song. It says, "Give me faith to trust what you say." And that's really powerful today because that's what I'm going to be speaking on. So just really, when I was singing that, "Give me faith to trust what you say." So if you'd just like to open your Bibles, and I'm going to start with a scripture. That's in 1 Peter 3:15, and that's New Living Translation. It says, "If someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it." If someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. So I'm just going to let that sit and say that this time going away to the Philippines on a missions trip, I felt ready. I thought I had a safety barrier to lean on because I'd been on a few before. So I was thinking, yep, this time there's going to be no uncertainty, I'm great. But let me just say, that wasn't the case at all. So there were many times where I was unsure. So I'm just going to share a story about one moment that really stood out for me on the trip. And this is where that faith really came in for me. So we're coming to the end of a very long day. We've managed to cram in a jail visit, high school visit, university visit, you name it, we did it. And I was getting exhausted. And it was extremely hot. I remember and can still remember the sweat that was pouring off me. It was literally like 100 degrees. And I was just so sticky. And you know when you get sticky and you get really annoyed, just like you're frustrated with everyone around you? Well, that's what I was like. So, we're going to our first community mothers outreach. This was the first of two. I was sore. Yes, I was hungry. And all I wanted to do was go back to the hotel room and sprawl all out over the hotel bed and just be like, oh, can just put my feet up. But we still had a few other places to go to, but I just remember being at a real low at this time. So we rock up to this community place, and we get led down a street, this poorly built street. We get led into this congregation of people, and it's all, you know, poor and still developing and just a really, not a really poor place. So Eunice gets called up to talk, thankfully, and I sigh relief, thinking, thank goodness, this time I can just sit back and relax because I'd done a lot of speaking. I was actually doing a cheer of celebration inside. I was like, yes, Eunice, not me. So then, yes, and then after, so Eunice finishes, and then Shane and Michael, the program coordinator person, agree that I should say something. So, yep, nothing like on the spot right there, and then you've got to love it. So I was, like I said, I was not expecting to preach. I had nothing prepared. I was tired. I was exhausted. It got asked to share something. I'd gotten to the point, though, where I'd spoken so much, I had run out of things to actually say. So this is where the Holy Spirit kicked in. I got up. I didn't say no, but rather stood up with confidence that God had my back and just started to speak. In my mind, though, I was like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing right now, but I'm trusting in you that you're going to give me the words to say, and when I start opening my mouth, you're going to fill me with what you want me to say to these people. So as soon as I start speaking, he puts words into my mouth. I hear the words sickness and pain pop into my head. I start automatically speaking about the diseases I have in my body and that how I have been carrying this burden with me for a few years now. I have something called fibromyalgia. I don't know if any of you heard it. And it's been a really large burden to me over my high school years and just affects every part of my functionality in my body. So I start sharing a bit about that. And I just say, I tell them how God's love for them wants to take this pain away and all suffering that they may have. This pain is not theirs but God's. And when they feel like all hope is lost, he is there to give them hope back, new life, and take any situation away from them. It is rather his situation. The Holy Spirit tells me there are so many people right there in need of an escape through healing. The first lady I pray for has terminal lung cancer. I start praying and the words out of my mouth were not of me. They were so powerful. They were authoritative. They were almighty. It was like something I had never encountered before. It was like it was a spiritual overflow of words pouring out onto someone that I never even knew I was capable of before. I could feel it in my body, my soul, my hands, that miracles were taking place right there, right then, with the Holy Spirit at that moment. I could feel it in every inch of my body through what God was doing through me and what I was saying. One lady that had pneumonia was automatically jumping with joy, telling me she immediately felt better after I prayed for her. This lady was so sick. I was told that she was so down that she could hardly speak. She starts speaking to me. She starts giving me a yell of joy. And she was just completely healed just then and there. Now the lines started forming of babies, of women, of children with brain tumors, skin diseases, you name it, who wanted me to pray for them. In ordinary circumstances, I would have been so overwhelmed. I would have been like, no way, not at all. I cannot do this. But I actually felt reassured that I could do this. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says, faith is the confidence that we hope for, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. I definitely had a faith moment at this time. That if faith was the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, gives us the assurance about things we could not see. I could not see what was happening right there, but I had confidence because of the Holy Spirit that was in me and the faith that I was carrying. This time I felt that it wasn't me, but God who was doing the speaking. He was telling me, Sarah, you don't have to worry, you just have to go there, start speaking, and I will give you the words to say. I've got you covered. I'm someone, though, who likes to do things my own way, right? So God, this time, showed me to lean on Him and not just go all about by myself. He told me to have trust in Him, to have faith in Him, the greatest faith that I've ever experienced in my life before. I learned that it's the faith that I had already and the real strong relationship in God that I had already that was pre-existent before we went away. That is what enabled me to do things I never thought I was even capable of before. The Holy Spirit was able to work through me supernaturally and allow me to pour out supernaturally onto others. I walked away changed, different inside. I had a feeling inside me that I can't explain. It was like everything in my body was 100% connected with what God wanted me to do at that time, at that moment. So I just encourage you two to delve deep into your faith in God. Become stronger in your relationships so He can allow His works and the Holy Spirit to wave through you miraculously. Because as I was at that low, I wasn't expecting to preach. I wasn't prepared. I was tired. I was a bit angry, frustrated. I just couldn't see myself preaching at that moment. But it's when we are at these lowest lows in life and are tiresome that God wants to lift us up into these roles to do things we never thought were even imaginable. So He can use us to do powerful things when we're at these times. So I wasn't prepared, but I stood up and as I said, I was bold and confident. And that's because the Holy Spirit came to me immediately because of the faith that I had. God wanted me to place all my trust in Him, not be anxious, and know that even if I don't have the words to say, He'll place them into my mind, my mouth, to speak out to the people or that particular person in their specific needs. It's amazing if we just step out of that comfort zone and we just have that faith and that trust what He can do. You don't know in that congregation what could be wrong with someone, but just by you having that faith and stepping out, you could be exactly what that person needs. And I knew at that time that God had given me all my sickness, all my disease, all my pain, all my suffering to use for a better purpose and a better good, to help someone else be free of their own suffering. So I would just, we're on time, so I can't, you know, preach a whole sermon, but I would just like to say that God doesn't want us to worry. I worry a lot and have a lot of anxiety. This was a teaching curve for me and a point that changed me and said, Sarah, why are you worrying? You don't need to worry when I've got you back. I've got your words. You don't need to think of them yourself, because when me and you are connected, it's amazing what you can do. So what He does want us to do is always be open in our faith in Him so He can fill us with His Spirit. So I'd just like to pray. Father God, I pray right now over this congregation. I ask, Father God, that You give them the opportunity where they can step out in their faith, Father God. I ask that even if they think low of themselves, Father God, or they think they're not worthy enough of Your love, Father God, that You fill them. You fill them with Your Spirit, Father God. You lift them up. Right now, Father God, I ask that You just encourage them, Father God, to use what they've been through, all the suffering they're still going through, to turn all that negativity, Father God, to influence someone else, Father God, that needs them. Let them be a light in Your world, Father God. Let them influence others. Surround them with people that they can help, Father God. Really step in and unlock that faith in their Father God, so they are allowed to put all their trust in You, Father God, and they are now no longer on their own, but are 100% truly connected with You and what You want them to do. Thank You, Father God, we pray. Amen.
Sarah, bless your heart. Bless your soul. That was so good.
I don't have a Bible. I gave it away. that was amazing. I love her. But, you know, going to this trip was just an amazing opportunity. And I'm so thankful because initially going there, my expectations were just going with the flow. That's the kind of person I am. I'm just like, yeah, whatever, it's all good, I'll be there. And everyone was talking about, you know, stepping out of the comfort zone, doing something that is different, you know, seeing what God can do when you're not in what you usually do. So I said that too, don't worry. But I really didn't really say it to myself. I was just going along and just saying it. And so when we got there, actually, I'm going to read the verse. I'm going to read my verse first. Because first time I preached in the Philippines, I did not have a verse. It'll come here, yeah. Anyway, so 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17. I got a contemporary version because the New King James Version, you had the thys and thous, and well, it doesn't go with me. But anyway, the scriptures say, if you want to brag, then brag about the Lord. You may not brag about yourself, but the only approval that counts is the Lord's approval. And so, to be honest, I don't usually brag. So I went to the mountains after we had the youth and the young adults and the youth on the Friday night, yeah? And then on the Saturday, I went to the mountains and we played with these kids, and it was the best moment of my life, I would say. We just had so much fun. And then at the end, I think it was AJ, Brianna, Crystal? I can't remember who else. And then we had this 20-minute session of saying goodbye to these young kids. It was just so heartfelt. And this little boy cried. And I was just like, but you were like dancing and shouting and being a tycoon. But now you're crying. You know, and it was just a really touching moment. And then we went back to the jeeps and then minibuses. And then we were talking with the guys, and for some reason I just felt so happy that the kid cried. not happy over the fact that he's cried, but the fact that he's cried over us. Like, we're just so amazing, you know, we're the best people in the whole entire universe. And, that is exactly how I felt. And in that moment, I just felt like the Holy Spirit just was like, you know, and it just... I've never felt that before. It was something that was different. It was so significant as well, and I just felt that. And in that moment, I felt Him say, "Eunice, who do you serve, yourself or God?" And from there, I just shut up. I just shut up and was like, "Yeah, okay. God, forgive me for this." But you know, that kind of stayed with me throughout the whole trip. How, you know, it's not about us, it's for God's glory. And throughout the whole trip, like the day Sarah was saying that she was so tired, she couldn't do anything. Like, that day was terrible, to be honest. It was the worst day. And I don't know why I was wearing a jacket. And then Shane was like, "So you're up?" And I hadn't prepared anything for the whole trip as well. I had not prepared a testimony, I had nothing up my sleeve. But then in that moment, I wanted to be like, "Nah, I have no way." But then the Holy Spirit still just gave me that nug. That, remember, it's not about you. You've got something to say. And then I shared a little bit about my journey, how my father left me when I was 5, and that kind of affected me when I was in my teenage years and that zone growing up, and how I was so angry. And then, you know, I was talking to these ladies, and there was no structure in my message. I had no verse. I had a verse in my head from Nathan, but I had nothing in that moment. You know, when you're put in the moment, it's like, God save me. But I spoke, and it worked. And then afterwards, you know, when we're praying with the people, and the ladies coming up saying, "That was so inspiring," and that just kind of reminded me that, you know, whatever happens, it's not about you, it's about God. Like, everything happens for a reason, and it's all about Jesus. Yeah, I'm not going to speak for too long because AJ's pumping it up. But yeah, I'm just going to leave you guys with that. Like, just whatever happens in your life, no matter what, just be attentive to the fact that everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to be going through, is going to be a reflection of who God is. So yeah.
Church. Magandang o magapo. Let's get into it. It's not supposed to be the serious one. Just so you all know, that slideshow before of all the photos, you saw a couple of nice ones of Wesley, Bremer, New Jared, Wes, and other people sleeping. Sarah decided to leave out the nicest one on the plane. Sarah decided to, like, I don't know what she'd been taking that entire trip, but she was literally like paralyzed on the plane like this, like asleep, hood down over her head, eyes closed, like music in her ears, and she was asleep like this, like in her seat with her hands up, her legs were like kicking. Yeah, that's just. Looking at her for a good 10 minutes, like, what did I know she's been doing? But, yeah. Alright, so start off. Pastor Shane, would you like to stand up for me? Yeah. So this is Shane, everybody. From now on, you have to refer to him as Pastor or Pastor Shane. No Shane. Has to be Pastor or Pastor Shane. That's it. That's the only way to talking. Yeah. And also, I know Wes already thanked him before, but you know, Shane was like, throughout the whole trip, like, Shane was like, I don't know, Shane literally did like everything. Like, I don't know, thank you so much for like everything you did for us all. Bought us breakfast on the last day. Thanks, Mum, for organizing stuff. Pastor Andrew and Sarah for connecting like those relationships the first time you went. Like, that was awesome as well. Alright, for those of you who don't know, I was the 2IC of the trip. So when me and Shane were going through like what our roles were going to be for the entire thing, I was appointed as a wake-up man. So some of you might think that would suck, having to wake up for everybody else. But there's an enormous amount of joy that you get in your heart. At like 6 o'clock, like 5:30 in the morning, when you know everyone else is like dead tired and just wants to sleep, and you're able to walk up to like their door, and there's a bell on the door that's like ding 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 ding. Honestly, that was one of the highlights of my trip. Sarah and Gemma, best thing going up to this, just ding 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 ding. First morning, I think we got to bed at like 2 o'clock. We had to be up at like 5, be at the airport at like 6. I think it was Gemma's room. She was up downstairs. I woke everyone else up, went down there. Then I was just sitting on there for a good 2 minutes. Ding, 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 ding. And then I could hear like someone move inside the room. And I was like, okay, she's not going to be happy. Kept going. About 10 seconds later, the door just opens. And she's like, what? Yeah, that was some good fun. That's a little intro for you all. Yeah. Alright, that's good, eh? Alright, I don't know, I could talk about the trip the whole time. It's good fun. Even those photos, just smiling the whole time. It's good memories. Thanks, Willie and Juliet. She was like a mum on the trip as well. Like, actually was.
You're allowed to do this.
That's good. Alright, so we stayed in, the first 5 days we were in the Philippines, we stayed with Victory Balanga, which is Lily and Juliet's church while, when they're in the Philippines, that's basically their home church. We gladly take them for like, I don't know, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months of the year, but that's like where they're originally from. And so at Victory Balanga, they're like main, like their motto. So our motto is love God, each other, the community. Theirs is to honour God and make disciples. And so basically that's like, that's their thing, that's what they do. their purpose in their community, like, all they do is honour God and make disciples. That's their purpose in life, just make disciples. And so, basically, I just want to share this morning about discipleship, and that we are all called to be disciples of God. Like, no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, how you've grown up, like your upbringing, like no matter what, you're called to be a disciple of God. That's all we're called to be, like in life. Right? So many people, even like in the Philippines, I had a concept of God and Jesus and life in my head. Once we went to the Philippines, like, that basically got blown out of the water. Like, just seeing how they do things, like the situations that they're in, like especially in the slums and things like that, like they literally have nothing. Some of them have nothing, and the only thing they have is God and hope of like what God is in their lives. And like to see like the way that Victory Belanga and even like C3 Parsi and things like that are like they're literally like the only thing that people like can hold on to is God. Like I literally, when we're in one of the slums in Parsi, I had like a 30-minute conversation with one of these guys. And like, yeah, like he just shared like his life story with me. And like he's like all the struggles that he has at home with his family. And like he was just saying, like he relies on God every day for like for literally everything. Like he struggles at home, he suffers from epilepsy, where like serious fits, like he can't afford medication. When he can, the medication doesn't work. And literally every day he just prays for healing. And God is like the only thing that gets him through each day and stops, like, I don't know, yeah, he's, no, I mean, it's just hard. Alright, so if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, verse 11. It's good to have your Bibles, church, just so you know, phones aren't the best way to do things. It says no. So this is a little story about discipleship. So it says, "And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So this little group of verses 1 to 11, that's our call in life. You know, Jesus offers us the opportunity later on to his disciples that, you know, you have an opportunity in life to, you know, just to live like a basic life, just to live normally, you know, go to work every day and put money on the table. But later on he offers them the opportunity to cast out your nets and catch. You have an opportunity to catch small fish, to, you know, go to market the next day, sell them for money, or you've got the opportunity to catch human-sized fish, you know. Like, this is... You can sell, like he's like, you can sell these fish tomorrow at market and get money for the next month, but I'm offering you something eternal. I'm offering you lives that, you know, in heaven, that's something that's invaluable. That's a price that, it's like a not everyday thing that you get the opportunity to do. And so, in the Philippines, discipleship, is, like, in here we've got numerous things that we have the opportunity to do. But over there, in there, in Victory Balanga, like, they've got, so there's three people, Millicent, Jar Jar, and Byron, as of this year, they're all campus ministries, campus ministers. So they'll go into their high schools, their universities, and minister to basically the students that are there. And all, like, everything in their life revolves around discipleship and ministering to these kids. God is, like, everything in their lives. And, like, just seeing the way that they do things, the way they operate, the way that God is literally, like, the center of their worlds, like, that's a massive, was a massive thing for me to see that, like, that's, like, that God is such a focus in their life, because personally for me, like, that's not always the case. Like, for me, I'm an 18-year-old bloke, you know, don't mind, like, having a couple of fourth years of mates. And, like, things, like, along those lines, I like going out, I like having fun. But, like, seeing the way that, like, their priorities, like, what they are, like, they're not wasting their time, they're doing, like, what they're meant to be doing in life. And so, like, even certain people when we were over there, like, they spoke to me, had a good, like, conversation with a lot of them. And they were like, AJ, like you've got a lot of potential. Like, you, I don't know how they know this, maybe Shane might have, like, I don't know, maybe talked to them about something. But they're like, you like, come across as, like, people, like, you have, like, this outer shell. And it seems like underneath that shell, you're a very soft, and you've got a lot of potential, and you just need to let God in. And so, like, things like that, like, you don't think, like, because I'm, in my life especially, like, I've not always, I don't often let God in. And so, even today, like, if you feel like God doesn't love you, or if you feel like you're alone or anything like that, you know, God loves you, doesn't care, like, anything about where you come from, any of that. God makes you whole. If you feel like you're broken, if you feel like you're not worthy, God, that's what God's here for. That's, like, all He does. He just wants to be with you. He just wants to make you whole, make you feel like you belong. And so, yeah, not really. Do you want to let's do another Bible verse? Right, Matthew, let's go to Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 18. If you'd like to turn with me. Alright. So it says, "And Jesus came and spake into them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So, discipleship. That is the great commission that Jesus gave to us. Our entire world, our entire being, we're called to be followers of Christ, to create followers of Christ, to basically expand the army of God and basically get more people to heaven and, like, the end result. And so, this morning, I want to challenge you all today. So if you'd just like to bow your heads and close your eyes, just have a little think for the next 5 minutes. I want to challenge you all today to be a disciple of Christ. Be a follower of Jesus. Be willing to impact the community and the others around you, in your workplace, in your families, maybe if you're in school, in your school. Be willing to serve others and God above all. Are you willing to do that this morning, church? Are you willing to become a disciple of Christ? Are you willing to get involved, to serve? All of us are called to be disciples. The call that Jesus gave us 2,000 years, it hasn't changed. It's the same thing. Nothing's changed, it's just time. The church is everlasting, it's been here for 2,000 years. So are you ready to answer the call, church? Are you ready to take up what it is that God has called you to do? Are you ready to go and make disciples of not only yourself, but of others in your community or in your family? Are you ready for that?